Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Today, on this third part of this series, By Hope, I wanted to read to you a passage of scripture out of James. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. They read something like this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone among you happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And after the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. For the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Today, in this third part of this series, By Hope, I've entitled this message, and I hope you're taking notes, because the Bible says in Jedidiah 57:5-8 that those that take notes get to heaven. Nope, doesn't say that. If you believe that, got more work to do than I thought. That's why you need to have your Bible. Open it, read it, check what I'm saying, fact check me. But if you're taking notes, I want you to write down this title. It's called Push. Push. And Push stands for Pray Until Something Happens. Pray until something happens. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I thank you that before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every one of us that was going to be tuning in and watching and hearing this message today. I pray and I know that when your word goes forth, it will never return void. I pray that I would lie down as you would rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I pray that hearts, minds, and ears are open and receptive to a word that will always be about Jesus. God, I pray for those that are far off that don't know you, that they'll get a new revelation of who you are. And God, once again, I just want to speak against fear in this time. I want to speak against doubt in this time, anxiety, God, stress, worry. I pray for hope. God, we put all our faith, our hope, and our trust in you, God. God, I pray that somebody's going to get a word today that will bless their soul. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Take about 5 seconds right now, man. Come on. Just come on. Don't get all lazy. I know some of y'all still in pajamas for church. It's okay. Take about 5 seconds to give Jesus some praise. Come on. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Go. I'm going to count. 2, 3. Come on. 4. You ain't too cool. 5. Amen. Amen. Just want to make sure that you're excited and you're energetic about the word that's coming your way right now. Push. Pray until something happens. I wanted to take a moment in this crazy time in history just to talk about prayer. Now more than ever, prayer is very, very important in the life of a believer. And nothing in my life personally gives me more hope than prayer, man. When I pray, I can confess the promises of God out of my mouth. And no matter how I'm feeling at the time, man, even if the situation doesn't look good, when I pray about it, I feel better. It gives me hope and it gives me encouragement to believe beyond what I can see. We got to pray. And today I'm not talking about, you know, some of these prayers that we be throwing out here. You know, I ain't talking about like the parking lot prayers like, God, please, Lord, let it be a parking spot when I get there. Like, no. We got to stop like underutilizing prayer. I'm not talking about like the grocery line prayer like, Lord, please let nobody me in 10 items or less line. No. Not that kind of prayer. I'm talking about powerful and effective prayer. When I pray, I want my prayers to shake the very gates of hell. When I pray, I want to call heaven down to earth. Today, in this time of fear, in this time of stress and anxiety, I want to pray differently than I've ever prayed before. I want to know that my prayers got all the backing of heaven. I want to pray and miracles begin to happen. I want to pray and know that when I ask, I shall receive in Jesus' name. We need powerful and effective prayers. And that's what James 5 is really talking about when it says that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And there's three types of prayer that I want to talk about today. And the first is this. It's the prayer of worship. Prayer of worship. This is a powerful way to start prayer, period, because you have to understand the magnitude of the God that you're actually praying to. I love David, man, because he was a great psalmist, and he wrote so many awesome psalms about our God, man. He just worshiped God on a whole nother level. Look at what he says in Psalms 8. He says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, that you have set your glory above the heavens. If you thought heaven was a level, he says God's glory is above the heavens. That's real worship. He says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold amongst your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place. Can't you just see that? God literally taking his hands and placing stars and placing planets in their proper position. It says, the moon and stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. This is the God that breathes stars. David is saying, you literally have the whole universe in your hands. Who am I that you're even thinking about me? He says, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all the flocks and the herds and the animals of the wild. God's given us dominion here on earth, the birds of the sky and the fish and all the sea that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David clearly understood the God that he was praying to. He knew that this was not just some random God that came out of his mind or out of his thoughts. He knew that this was the God that was the creator of all things. And David worshiped him and gave him all glory and all praise. I love that David, man, when he talks about God, he says, man, who am I that you are mindful of me? Like, I can't even believe, God, that you have thoughts the way that you constantly think about me, and not just about me, about every other person on the planet at the same time, while still being God and Lord over everything. You still focus your thoughts on me. Our God is a beautiful creator. He is the creator of all things, and we are all creative aspects of the creator. There's a little bit of God in all of us, something you can learn about your fellow man. And God loved you enough to put who he was inside of you and create you in his image. I don't know another great reason to even want to think about worshiping him, except for the fact that he loved us so much. We all get the best of him. Man, listen, I could read passage after passage and still not fully be able to fathom how great God is. So when I pray to him, I got to take a moment to acknowledge the bigness, the grandeur, the magnitude of our God. Like, all I want to do is give him adoration. All I want to do is worship him. I mean, have you ever just like looked at the ocean or looked at an animal or looked at something in nature and was like, man, that is amazing. And even though God made that, like, he still had time to make me? Like, what a powerful thought. I can't even believe. Like, have you ever like seen something and just in a moment, it might have been a real awkward moment, just got hit by the presence of God when you saw it? Like, whoa. Like, you realize how good God was when you saw it. I've had moments like that all my life. I'll never forget first week at college. I was sitting in the lunchroom. And when I was sitting in the lunchroom, this girl passed by my view. All my cool went out the window. Everything that I thought I knew had changed forever. The world started moving in slow motion. I thought I had swag. I thought I knew it all. And this girl named Joanne walked past me and I said, good God, the Lord is good. He is good. His mercies endure. But I started speaking in tongues, bought a Hyundai, should have bought a Hyundai. Oh my goodness. That girl made me lose all my cool, all my swagger. I couldn't get my words right when I tried to talk to her because I was looking at God's creation and I knew that it was good. There's other times where I felt like that. I talk about the Grand Canyon a lot. It's one of my favorite places to go on the planet because it just shows me the magnitude of God. Now, I remember the first time I ever went, I was a kid, and I gave my mom such a hard time. You know, she's an island lady, and she always likes to take me to see stuff. She said, Terry, I'm taking you to the Grand Canyon. I want you to see how great God is. And I was like, Mom, it's a bunch of rocks. I don't want to go see that. What I want to see that for? Like, it's plenty of things I could be doing. I don't want to go see the Grand Canyon, big old gorge of rocks. Who wants to see that? Man, I tried to be as cool as I wanted to be. When I finally got up to the Grand Canyon, and I stepped out the door, and I saw the magnitude of how great God was. All my coolness went out the window. My mouth literally dropped. I said, I can't believe how good God is. Like, man can't make this. It was like I was looking at a live version of a Renaissance masterpiece. It was so beautiful. It's like I could imagine God just taking his finger and sticking it in the ground and carving out the canyon. I started in that moment to realize how majestic our God is and how great he is and why he is worthy of all praise. I'm taking a moment for you to understand the grandeur of God because it bothers me when we don't take the proper time to worship him in our prayers. We're quick to ask God for stuff, but we don't take the proper time to worship him first. And let me tell you something. God's gonna get his glory one way or the other. But there's folks that are so internally focused and so self-focused, they're not focused on God, so they don't give God his praise. I love in the Bible, there's such a time where it speaks of the Pharisees, and they were upset because as Jesus had his triumphal entry into the city, the Pharisees, they were jealous of Jesus, and they wanted to kill him. And they told him, they said, Jesus, you must rebuke your disciples. Why are they worshiping you like that? And I love it. Verse 39 says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd, this is Luke 19, verse 39, says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus has the greatest response. He says, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. What a powerful response. Now, you hear this and you say, well, when did rocks ever cry out in history? I don't know about rocks giving Jesus worship. Well, then you clearly have not looked at the cross. You see, Jesus came for one reason and all, one reason only. He was redemption before creation. So when we see him on the cross, we actually got it wrong. Humankind sees Jesus on the cross and there's tears. They see Jesus on the cross and there's sorrow. They see Jesus on the cross and he's not getting the respect. He's not getting the worship and the glory that he's due. When he stretched out on the cross, this is the greatest masterpiece, a pinnacle of an artisan's work. This is the greatest masterpiece, the cross that God has ever showed humanity. His son, his one and only son, sacrificing himself for us. When we should have worshiped him, we wanted him killed. When we should have praised him, we spit in his face. When we should have praised him, we mocked him. And Jesus, it stretched out like a masterpiece. And all the world was there to see. There was no worship. There was no, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But they laughed and they scoffed at him when they should have worshiped him. And when all of humanity should have worshiped God for showing us his greatest work, nobody worshiped. And the Bible says, Jesus, with his last breath, says, it is finished. And in that moment, something interesting happens in Matthew 27, 51. It says, at that moment, the temple, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The moment Jesus should have got worship, the moment Jesus should have got praise on the cross, we as humanity did not respond to him the proper way. The moment he says it is finished and bows his head, the earth literally began to shake, so much so that the Bible says that the temple, it shook and the rocks split. Let me ask you again, do you believe if rocks can cry out? Because they did that day. And after the rocks cried out, the centurion soldier that was watching Jesus respond, surely this was the Son of God. It's not until the rocks cried that man cried out and confessed who God is. It's not until nature cried out that man gave Jesus the worship and the adoration that he deserves. I want you to understand something, that your prayer must always have a moment of worship, because God's gonna get his worship one way or the other. Is he getting his worship from you? I always want to make sure that I take moments when I pray, not to just tell God all my problems like he doesn't know. I want to make sure that I am acknowledging the one who has the power to change my situation. Church, when we pray, make sure we take a moment to worship, so that we can show with our heart and with our mouth that God is the one who has the power and the control over the situation, and he is due all glory, all honor, and all praise. It's not just about the prayer of worship. It's about the prayer of petition. This is where we begin to ask God for things. Petition means a solemn supplication or request to a superior authority. In this case, the superior authority is God. And the supplication or the request, that's where we begin to ask God for stuff. These are the petitions. And petitions are usually threefold. The first petition I would say is this, and this is the petition for repentance. I never like to have a conversation with God, because that's what my prayer is, without one, first worshiping him, but then two, man, I want to make sure that my requests are coming from the right place. I gotta repent. I repent daily. I love what David said, man, in Psalms 51:10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew, which means it's a daily occurrence. I don't just need God to fix me one time. I need him to renew me constantly. My spirit needs constant renewal, because I know me. The flesh is wicked. So I ask constantly, God, please renew me. Make me better today than I was yesterday. That's something I've been in the habit of praying my entire life. God, I want to be better today than I was yesterday. I love what David said in Psalms 51, verse 1. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, my sins. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We know that David had sin. He was crazy. His life was a mess, but the Bible still calls him a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he constantly humbled himself and had a repentant heart at all times. Don't even begin to ask God for stuff until you first ask him to deal with your heart. But then the second fold petition prayer will be this. And these are now the personal needs. After we repent, then we start throwing some stuff God's way. We start asking him for stuff. And if you're like me, man, listen, human beings will always have needs. Always personal things that we're asking God for. And I love God because God loves us and he wants to answer our requests. I've always gotten in the habit, though, of not praying my will. I pray God's will because I know it's guaranteed to happen when he wants it. I think there's some things that we want in life and God knows we have no business having, and you should be thankful when he doesn't give them to you, because you don't know what he's trying to spare you from. But when you have a need, you trust God. You believe God. You ask God. He is a father that gives good gifts, and he will show up. When you have something in your life that you need to make happen. Don't let prayer be your last option. Let prayer be your first line of defense. We see this in the Bible time and time and time again. When people get in sticky situations, they take time out to pray. When Moses needed the Red Sea split, he prayed. When Joshua needed the sun to stand still, he prayed. When David needed to hit Goliath in the head and slew that giant, he prayed. When Daniel needed the mouths of the lions to be shut in the den, he prayed. When Jonah wanted to get out the belly of a whale, he prayed. When Jesus needed strength for the cross, he prayed, God, not my will, let your will be done. When you need a job, guess what? We pray. If your mom has cancer, guess what? We pray. When your marriage is falling apart, guess what? We pray. When your son's out there on drugs and you can't find him, guess what? The church will pray. When your daughter's in an abusive relationship, we'll pray. Let me tell you something. When you just don't think you can make it no more, you need to pray. What is your need today? It is time for you to take a moment and pray. Pray. Push. Pray until something happens. I'll never forget, over 20 years ago, as a 16-year-old boy in 1998, I got a report that my mother had breast cancer. And man, I didn't know what to do. So as a 16-year-old boy in my room, I dropped down on my knees and I prayed. I prayed. I rebuked the devil at every turn. And I said, God, you cannot take my mom from me at this time. Can't do it. I need her in my life. And I prayed and I believed. And let me tell you something. We are 20 plus years later. My mom is healthy. That cancer's been in remission for over 20 years. She serves on the Cool Host team right now, and she's the biggest cheerleader at Cool Church. Don't tell me that my God will not answer my needs. Don't tell me that my God will not supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. If you have a request, I promise you, don't wait for the last minute to pray. Let prayer be the first thing that you do. Your prayer should be like instinct. If there's a problem, you start praying. This world has plenty of problems. We need, as Christians, to be praying more and more and more, and not just praying for ourselves. The third type of petition is when we pray for others. This is intercessory prayer. This prayer is powerful because it takes the focus off of you and it puts it back on to others. I love Acts 12. Peter, he went to jail a few times, but on this particular time preaching the gospel, he's in jail. And what happens? The Bible says in Acts 12:5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Church, let me tell you something. Right now, the world needs us to pray. We need to pray harder than we have ever prayed before. We need to get on our knees. We need to get on our faces and send a real intercession for this world. This pandemic has taken the world by storm. Fear has gripped the world. People are hopeless. People are lost. In this moment, the church needs to rise up and intercede in the name of Jesus, that by his stripes, the world is healed. We will cancel any enemy threat that we cannot see in the name of Jesus, and we are interceding for health. We are interceding for life. We are interceding for abundance in this crazy time in Jesus' name. I want you to hear me, church. Now is the time for us to rise up and intercede on behalf of the world, because if we don't do it, I don't know who else will. The church can break the enemy strongholds at every turn when we take a moment to stop and pray. It's not just a prayer of worship, not just a prayer of petition, but finally, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. And this is my favorite prayer of all. And so often, God, he answers our prayers, and we forget to thank him. We forget to thank him, just like humanity. We get what we want, but we forget to say thank you. And we're not the first to do this. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, we see a story where Jesus, he goes about his business of healing, because that's what he does. And look at the response. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw it was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet, at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. He was a Samaritan, the one that shouldn't have done it. The one that the Jewish people would have called a dog, a half-breed, is the one that came back to give Jesus thanks. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? See, only one was thankful. I don't ever want to get to a place in life where Jesus has been doing stuff for me and I get too busy to thank him. I get so caught up in what he's done, what he's doing, that I don't take time to thank him for what he's already done. Don't forget to thank Jesus. Church, hear me on this. Yeah, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray about everything. But man, the majority of your prayer should be thanking Jesus. Because the truth is, he's always doing stuff, whether you've prayed for it or not. Even the things you're not praying for that he's doing for you every day, you don't thank him for. Thank him for breath. When's the last time you said, "God, thank you for air"? God, thank you. We always want to thank him for what we call the big stuff, but we don't want to thank him for the stuff that he's constantly doing that we haven't even asked for. See, this is how it should be. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I don't ever present a request without offering the thanks when I give the request. What am I saying? I thank God before he's even done what I have asked for. And I live my life thankful, knowing that it is already done in Jesus' name. See, you might praise the Lord and you worship him. You might petition heaven and intercede for others. But when God answers, and he will, do not forget to thank him. You got to thank God. I can think of time and time again that I have prayed for something in life, and I always take moments to pause and thank God for what he's done. I prayed that my brother would come home after being in the military for 21 years, deployed from everywhere to Kosovo and Iraq. He sat on IED bombs and did not explode. He came home with all his senses, with all his mind, with no problems. And when he got home, you best believe I said, "Thank you, Jesus." I prayed when my father was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. Right when I was in a church service, I heard the news and I left as soon as I could. And on my way to the hospital, I said, "God, you cannot take my father, in Jesus' name." And I thanked him in advance, knowing that my father was going to be healed. And can I tell you that when the doctors took a second look at him, they said one of the valves in his heart was already healed and they don't know how it happened. And all I could say is, "Thank you, Jesus." I prayed when my brother-in-law, in a freak accident, destroyed both of his knees at one time at the gym, and we didn't know if he would walk again. We didn't know what was going to happen. Can I tell you that after 6 months of rehab, he can walk fine, he can run fine, he can play with his kids? And you know what I say? All I can say is, "Thank you, Jesus." Me and my wife prayed for a child forever and didn't know if it would ever happen. And after 8 years, God sent a beautiful little girl from another part of the world to be our daughter. And I've been so thankful ever since. So all I can say is, "Thank you, Jesus." I prayed for decades for some of my family members to come to Jesus, my father being one of them. But now he sits on the front row of Cool Church each and every week and has probably invited and brought more people to church and down to the altar than anybody else. And all I can say is, "Thank you, Jesus." When we didn't know what we would do for a building or how we would start this church, God made it happen. We're still here standing strong over a year later with 1,000 people in attendance each and every Sunday. And now that we've been streaming, we've been getting double those numbers online. All I can say is, "Thank you, Jesus." But church, we not out the woods yet. We still gotta pray. We still gotta intercede. I'm saying in advance, though, thank Thank you, Jesus, that this coronavirus is finished in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing, God, of people that are in hospital beds right now. Thank you, Jesus, for folks with respiratory problems, God. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing and helping our elderly, God. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing and helping our disabled, God. Thank you, Jesus, for helping hospital workers and people on the front lines, God. Thank you, Jesus, that the world will unite through this problem. And God, thank you, Jesus, that the church is stronger than ever because we have prayed, we have believed, and we will continue to push and pray until something happens. Never, ever go throughout your day without taking a moment to thank Jesus, not just for what he's already done. Thank him for what he's doing right now. And thank him for stuff that you haven't even seen him do yet. Because our God does not sleep or slumber. He is always on the job. So God, with everything I am and everything I got, I say thank you. Today, maybe you're in the sound of my voice. And you say, Pastor, if I could be honest, man, I never really prayed because I know you say how great our God is, how great God is, but man, I never really connected to that. I didn't pray because I feel like my prayers hit the ceiling. I feel like when I pray, nobody listens. I love it because our God, he always has an attentive ear to his children. He's always listening to you. And though you may not feel like he's listening, and though maybe you haven't even always been thankful for the things that he's done, he always hears you and he always loves you. If you're out there today in the sound of my voice, I always believe there's at least one. And you need Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you need Jesus, the one I was talking about, that died on the cross for your sins, the greatest way for you to show that you're thankful to that is to accept him. Accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Because if you accept him, nothing says thank you like you receiving a relationship with Jesus. If you're out there on the count of three, sound of my voice, you need Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. Here you go. One, two, three. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. I can't even see it, but God can. God can. God can. He sees your hand, but even better than that, he sees your heart. He sees your heart. Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you're saved. Confess. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead and you're saved. I want everybody within the sound of my voice to repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I've sinned. I'm not proud of it, but I admit it. Today, I lay my sin down. Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to receive your forgiveness, to take the place of my sin. I ask that you would accept me, Lord, into your wonderful family. Today, I give my life completely to you. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You see, James 5:16 says, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. You just said the most powerful, the most effective prayer of your life, because this is the one that guarantees your place in eternity. I'm so proud of you, family. I'm so proud of y'all. And it's something that we like to do at Cool Church, man. We all about celebration, because the Bible says that when one comes back to the Father, there's a celebration in heaven. It's crazy. There's a party happening right now. I can't open up the ceiling and show you, but I want to help you feel what it may feel like, maybe hear what it sounds like. So right now, Cool Church family, you know I'm gonna count to three, but y'all start hitting them likes, start hitting them claps, start cheering for people, because I know it's people. I know, just start hitting it, just like clap. Right now, on the count of three, we gonna make the loudest noise that we can. Let's break the internet right now. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you are great. Thank you. Thank you for everybody that made that decision. Thank you. Yes, Lord, you are a part of a family. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. I'm so proud of you. can't believe that you made that awesome decision today. Your prayers are powerful and effective. God hears you and he loves you. Just don't forget to thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Well, family, if you made that decision today, there should be some buttons on your live stream feed. Maybe it says connect. Maybe it says salvation. Hit it. Click it. Click it right now if you made that decision, man. We want to connect with you. There's always some cool stuff we want to send you, man. There's a Bible. There's a WWJD bracelet and a note from me and my wife. We want to make sure we send that to you if you made that decision. Click on the button so we can get your information and we can make sure we connect with you because we love you. On whatever platform you're on, make sure you are connecting with us. And I want you to know, man, this is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And in these times, family, we got to pray harder than we've ever prayed before. Continue to push. Pray until something happens. God is not taking a deaf ear to us. He hears us. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. This curve will flatten. This thing will turn around in Jesus' name because we're going to pray until something happens. Keep pushing, family. I love y'all so much. I miss y'all. I cannot wait. Me and Joanne are going to turn up so much when we see you again because we love you and we miss you. Hey, reach towards me. Let me bless you. Hey, if God did something in your life, man, you share this with somebody. Click share, click like, click something. Make sure other people see this. We got some other services. It's going to be streaming all day, so make sure you let somebody else enjoy this revelation of joy and grace that you just received. Reach towards them. Let me bless you before you go. Father God, I thank you for the greatest people in all the world, the people of Cool Church. Bless them as they rise up, as they lie down, as they go out, as they come in, they're laboring in their leisure. God, surround them with your presence. And God, I pray a hedge of protection around my entire Cool family, God. I speak against sickness, illness in the name of Jesus, and we pray for the expedited stop of this virus in Jesus' name. God, we love you. Praise you. I pray that this week of their life will be the best week of their life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Love you so, so much. But more than that, God loves you. Catch you next week, family. Tune in. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.